Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to see everybody today. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 1. I'm going to read a couple passages this morning, not speak on them in any great detail, but they are going to introduce the theme of the message today. So Romans chapter 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received the grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you are called, the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 9, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those things in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. William Shakespeare once penned these words, "What is a name? What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet." His point was, you value something for what it is, not something for what it's called. If a rose had been called another flower, that name would be as sweet. But because a rose is called a rose, we call a rose sweet. The true value of something isn't in its name. It's in what it is and not what it's called. We love our spouse's names because they're our spouse. I love the name Amy. Well, after I met her, we got married. I truly love that name, Amy, and our sons. We name our children. Sometimes we name our children names, things we appreciate, value. Maybe it's something miraculous in their birth, and we call them by that name, something that means a lot to them. But when they get older, the name takes on the identity of the child, not the child to the name. I mean, Solomon and Obadiah, those two young men, those two fine young men, have names that before we met them, we thought these characters from Scripture in the Old Testament, great characters from Scripture. But we didn't have a name. We didn't know many, many people named that. But Solomon and Obadiah, now all of a sudden we put faces to the names, and they're fine young boys. Last night at around 11 o'clock, my sons would still not go to bed. I was trying to study. They were jumping up and down. The ceiling was shaking, and I called them. Their new name is Boanerges, Sons of Thunder. Scripture. Turn to Scripture. It's a different story because the Holy Spirit allows us to learn the names of these people. Now we can't grasp doctrine from very many names. It's just the name of the person, but sometimes we can get a clue about what the person was like based on their names, based on Scripture, especially when Scripture goes out of the way when he says, when he gives us translation of the names. So with Scripture, you have to, when you're reading it, what does the name mean? You can learn more about the person based on his name. And in other cultures, of course, the name was a lot more significant than we have. The names is significant, but in other cultures, it was a lot more significant. You know, what was your name and what you lived to? There's no name, though, more important than the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That name tells us our God has so many wonderful attributes given by his name. We love to list them, don't we? The Scriptures are full of pictures of Christ, full of stories about him, how he loves us who are unworthy of his love, his incredible power parting the Red Sea, his faithfulness to the children of Israel, even when they turned their back on him over and over and over. His mercy on the unjust. Those who deserve to be lost, he had mercy on. That thief on the cross had no right to enter heaven, but God had mercy on him, an unjust man. There's amazing pictures, on and on, pictures of Jesus Christ we love to see. Names that describe him. The bread of life. The good shepherd. Living water. He's the vine. He's the Lamb of God, etc. Many other names we can quote that give us pictures of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can learn about our Lord Jesus Christ by the names that that the Scripture gives to him. But there's a beautiful trio of names that stand above all the others that is commonly used, especially in the New Testament, quoted constantly in the epistles. And we read those this morning. Then we read the names Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the epistles, we see authors, especially Paul, using these three names, Jesus, Christ, and Lord, all the time. Paul used it. All the writers of the New Testament used it. But Paul really loved to use it. You see him many times. He put all three together, like we read in Romans. Sometimes he puts just a combination of any two together. We read in Romans 1, Jesus Christ our Lord. In fact, Neil this morning read Ephesians 5 and verse 20, which said, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes you see just the words Jesus Christ together. Patrick read in Philippians 3:14, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You have Lord Jesus in Acts chapter 9. Ananias went to Saul after Saul's conversion and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has come and sent me that he may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus. Or maybe Christ the Lord. In Luke 2:11, you didn't have to go very far in the New Testament to get to Christ the Lord. Luke 2:11, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. All throughout the New Testament, you see these names of Jesus Christ, his titles, his positions. What's in the name? There's a lot in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to start a three-part series about the names of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do they tell us about our God? They show his work on our behalf. They speak to us of his incredible love. They describe Christ's relationship to you and me. And they show our relationship to Christ. About him and what he has done. And so today I'd like to focus on the name Jesus. So, you turn in your scriptures to the first verse of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, son of David, son of Abraham. New Testament starts off by, this is the book about Jesus Christ. New Testament, the whole Bible is about Jesus, but the New Testament specifically tells us, especially the Gospels, tells us about the person of Jesus Christ on earth. The name originated in the Old Testament. Now, you don't have to turn to many of these passages in the Old Testament. We won't talk about them in great detail. But the first time the name Jesus is the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Yeshua, or translated Joshua, we read. Joshua, Yeshua. We read back in, I'll turn to Numbers. First, we read the name Joshua in Exodus 17, where Moses talks to Joshua. But Moses actually renamed Joshua. Did you know that? Moses changed Joshua's name into the name that we read in, Numbers chapter 13. And again, you don't have to turn there. I'll just read it. Numbers 13 and verse 16, when he talks, he goes through the list of the people, of the spies who are going to check out the promised land and bring back a report. You talk about, we read from the tribe of Ephraim was Hoshea, son of Nun. Hoshea, which means deliverer or savior. And then skip down to verse 16 of Numbers 13. These are the names of the men who Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. So he renames Hoshea, Joshua. Now the name Hoshea, the name Joshua really has two parts. You have the, or Yeshua. Yeho, the beginning, is referring to Jehovah, God. And Shua is the second part of that word, which means the word saves or salvation. So the name Joshua from early on meant Joshua, Jehovah saves, or Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah saves. And so that was the beautiful, it's a beautiful name of that word. But that was the name of Joshua all throughout the Old Testament, all throughout the scripture. That's the name that is what Joshua means. Jehovah saves. Used many times in the Old Testament, we obviously think of Joshua who helped out Moses. He was Moses' right-hand man. He led Israel across the Jordan and into the Promised Land. Joshua did. There was another Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, who helps Israel return back to the after they were conquered and led in captivity. He helped them Israel return, rebuild the altar, and lays the temple foundation in Haggai. But we read this fellow Joshua, son of Jehozadak. He did amazing work too. There's another Joshua doing God's work, bearing a name with an amazing meaning. Also in Samuel, think of 1 Samuel chapter 6. Remember when the Philistines were fighting the Israelites and they stole the Ark of the Covenant. And they brought the Ark into where their temple of their false gods. And they tried to say, okay, the God of this Israel nation is subservient to our God, who's the true God. And what happened? Well, their God Dagon fell down and broke in front of the Ark. And they got to the point where we have to send this thing back to Israel. It is bringing us nothing but misfortune, nothing but problems. So they put the Ark on a cart. They turned the cart in the direction of Israel and let it go. And guess where the cart with the Ark ended up? Was in the field of a Joshua, son of Beth-Shemesh. And so Joshua, the son of Beth-Shemesh, received the Ark and used the Ark for wood for a burnt offering. So you see multiple Joshuas and many others. Those are a few examples of Joshuas in the Old Testament. And of course, and so there's the Old Testament. The New Testament, as we said, the name is translated Jesus. We still hear Joshua, Jesus, Justice. But the point I'd like to make sure we understand is that it was a very common name. In Bible time, it was a very common name. It had a beautiful meaning, Jehovah saves. But it was very commonplace, and it was so commonplace that when you use it, you have to have a qualifier or a name. You have to say, this is Jesus. Whenever Jesus was mentioned, it was Jesus of Nazareth or Jesus, son of Joseph. He had to be qualified. Many, many Jesuses in the New Testament. In Colossians chapter 4, Paul, one of Paul's people, was called Jesus, called Justice in Colossians chapter 4. In Acts 13, there's the magician, a sorcerer, whose name is Bar-Jesus, son of Jesus. And it wasn't until most translations leave this out, but in the early transcripts, did you know what the first name of Barabbas was? Jesus. His name is Jesus Barabbas in early transcripts, early manuscripts. In Matthew 27:17, he said, "Shall I release Jesus Barabbas or Jesus whom you call King of the Jews?" Pilate says that. So Jesus was a common name back then. Whenever Jesus was spoken about in the Gospels, it was always use of the qualifier, Jesus, son of Joseph, son of Mary, Jesus of Nazareth, to describe exactly which Jesus they were referring to. You know, when we come to see Jesus, do you want this Jesus, or Jesus from Capernaum, or Jesus from this place, or Jesus from Nazareth? And this was Jesus from Nazareth. The only time that the name Jesus was not used with the qualifier was when the foreigners came, and they didn't know. They came to the disciples. The Greeks came to the disciples and said, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." But Jesus in the scriptures, in the Gospels, was so well respected as a teacher, his name was rarely, if ever, used. In fact, Did you know the disciples never addressed Jesus by his first name? The disciples, when Jesus was alive, they never called him by his name, Jesus, to his face. In fact, we only read of one instance where any disciple uses the name Jesus while Jesus was still alive. And does anybody know which disciple that was?
John.
So John chapter 1, Philip says to Nathanael, "Come, we found the Jesus. We found the Jesus who is called the Christ." Philip says to Nathanael, "We have found Jesus called the Christ." And then Nathanael says, "Can any good thing come from Nazareth?" The disciples used the respectful name. They used names of honor. Not the name Jesus, because it was a commonplace name. You call, if someone great, and their name is Fred such and such, you don't call them, hey Fred. Is a teacher, you use respect, especially someone who you respect even more than the scribes, who is an amazing, wonderful teacher like Jesus Christ was. They wouldn't think about using his first name. They would call him teacher, master, rabbi, rabboni. What did Peter call him? Peter even called him Christ. You are the Son of God. You are the Christ of God. You are the Messiah. Never called him Jesus. Jesus was such a commonplace name. Back when I was in school, I was homeschooled, but I did go to orchestra. And I would never call the conductor Chuck Charles. It was always Dr. Evans. He was a maestro, Dr. Evans. It was the last thing on my mind would be to call him, use his first name. And I think that was the disciples. They wouldn't call him Jesus. They call him Master, Lord, Teacher. And there's only a few people, though, who called him Jesus. Well, Philip, who was talking about Jesus, but not to Jesus, said, "Come, we found him of whom Moses spoke on, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." You know who did use the term Jesus? The demons. There were demons in Capernaum. "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth?" The demons knew exactly who he was and the power that he had. The demons in the man who had a bunch of demons there on the cliff, on the after they went over to the seas, Jesus, son of God, and the demons rescued him. And Jesus sent the demons into the swine, and the swine ran over the cliff. The Jews, in John chapter 6, "Is this not Jesus, son of Joseph?" Blind Bartimaeus, "Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me, have mercy on my eyes." Think of the servant girl who was talking to Peter. Said, "You were with Jesus of Nazareth." And Peter denied Christ. The 10 lepers, "Jesus, have mercy on us." Of course, as I mentioned, the Greeks came to Philip. "Sirs, we would see Jesus." John 18, the crowd came to Jesus led by Judas Iscariot. And Jesus said, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "We seek Jesus of Nazareth to come and get him." Pilate in Matthew 27, "Whom shall I release, Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Christ?" And of course, the angel in the tomb when she talked to Mary. Mary, whom before Mary saw Jesus, saw the gardener. She saw the angel, and the angel said, "You seek Jesus of Nazareth, don't you? You seek Jesus of Nazareth." Mary was coming to the tomb. She sought a body. But instead, the angel said, "You seek Jesus of Nazareth as if he's still alive." The angel knew he was alive, even though she was seeking a body at that time. The body was missing. But it was always used with the qualification. Whenever Jesus was used, it was always used for the qualification. But now I'd like to get to the significance of the name Jesus Christ. The name Jesus is a very significant name. And now we'll go back to Matthew chapter 1 that we turned to. And I'll start reading in verse 18. Very familiar passage. Matthew 1 and 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly and do the honorable thing. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" He will save his people from their sins. Here we have the name Jesus being imparted to this one inside Mary who was conceived with the Holy Spirit. And God himself gave him the name Jesus. His name was given from heaven for a reason. The emphasis on this passage is the word he. You shall call his name Jesus, for he it is. In fact, certain translations say, for he it is that shall save. For he is the one who will save. What will he do? He will provide salvation. He will save. Just as the name Jesus meant Jehovah saves. You shall call, and that was an established fact. Jesus meaning Jehovah saves was not given by this angel. That meaning of that name was established centuries previously. He shall save who? His people from their sins. So Jesus' name was chosen by God. Secondly, Jesus' name proved his identity. Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah saves. And what did the angel say? For it is he who shall save. This child is the one who will do the saving. You shall call his name Jesus, for he it is. He will save his people from their sins. Who then is this child? If this child's name means Jehovah saves, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Who is this child then? This child is Jehovah, the one who's doing the savings. So the angel affirmed the deity of the name Jesus right here in this passage. Now, who else but Jesus could fulfill his name like that? Nobody else. There's a lot of Joshuas in the scripture who do amazing work. There's a lot of Jesuses in the New Testament. And some of them are fine people, some of them are not. But there's only one man who could fully fulfill the name Jehovah Saves. And that is Jesus Christ. Jesus of Nazareth. The one whose name was given by God alone. Jesus alone, and that leads me into the third point. Jesus alone could fulfill the meaning of his earthly name. Who can save from sin but God alone? The angel said he shall save his people, not from the Egyptians, not from the Assyrians, not from the Philistines. He shall save his people from their sins. Only God can save people from their sins. Only Jehovah can. Other Joshuas can do all that great business, but they cannot save people from their sins. Only Jehovah can. And this gets me to the main point that I'd like to take home today. Jesus, the name Jesus, speaks to us about his identity and his work. Who he is and what he does. Jesus, Jehovah saves. Jehovah is salvation. Not just who he is, what he has done, but what he has hopefully done for each one of us in our hearts. He is our Jehovah, and he saves us from our sin. Now, the disciples didn't grasp this yet. Until while Jesus was on earth, they were slow. They were slow to understand. Now, they loved him. They recognized him as God. They were faithful to him. Until the end when they denied him. But they were faithful. But they viewed him as God, as Messiah. But as Savior, they didn't understand the saving bit yet. They didn't know about the resurrection until after the fact. In fact, in John 20, verse 9, says, for as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. They were still clueless about the fact that he would rise from the dead until after the fact. After the resurrection, the name Jesus was used all the time in Scripture. The disciples loved the name Jesus after the resurrection. Turn to Acts chapter 2, please. Acts chapter 2. In fact, Acts chapter 2, the very first gospel message that Peter preaches. So this is, the name Jesus was used multiple times in the first proclamation of the gospel in Acts 2. Now, what changed between here and the Gospels? What changed? And in my mind, three things changed. I'm sure there's many other things, but not just time. But first of all, Jesus' ministry had ended. Jesus was the teacher, was the great teacher. He died, he rose from the dead, and he went back up into heaven. His earthly ministry had come to a close. Secondly, the Holy Spirit came down and indwelt here at Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, we read the Holy Spirit came down and indwelt and started the new dispensation that we're in today, where the Holy Spirit indwells each one of us. The Holy Spirit started to indwell here in Acts chapter 2, the Pentecost. And finally, the disciples finally understood their salvation completely. They fully understood what Jesus did and everything. All of their questions they had in the Gospels had been answered. The first gospel message preached in the name of Jesus. In fact, Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus, it's the first time we read Peter speaking the word Jesus in Scripture. It's right there. Jesus of Nazareth, and the qualifier. Jesus of Nazareth, the man tested by God to you by miracles. I'll read a little bit. Wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, him being delivered by determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. For you have made him known the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. And so you have the first gospel message preached about how Jesus died and was raised again. And the name of Jesus was used centered on the resurrection. And then centered on salvation, down in verse 38, the final clincher of the passage. Then Peter said, they were cut apart, said, what shall we do? Verse 38, Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Who is Jesus? Jehovah. What does he do? He saves from sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So here we have the first gospel message preached, that recorded in Scripture. And you have the name Jesus used in the context of being saved from sin and the context of the resurrection, which is exactly what the disciples understood at that point. You didn't just have the gospel message being preached. A few verses down, verse 3 and verse 6, Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, give I you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. A miracle performed in the name of Jesus. Persecution in the next chapter, in chapter 4, verse 18. Those people, they called him and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. All of a sudden, those who were against the gospel being preached, against this new religion, they said, you will stop speaking in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. So you have the gospel in the name of Jesus. The miracles performed in the name of Jesus. Persecution began in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus now takes on brand new significance because of the meaning of that name was truly understood. The name of Jesus was, so you have, first you have the name of Jesus being not very well used, and now the name of Jesus is used as, is the powerhouse of the gospel. The powerhouse of the new church was from the name of Jesus Christ. And of course, it's Jesus behind it. But the name was brought on so much significance. In fact, when the apostles go back and they write the Gospels, they write about Jesus did this all the time. His name was Jesus. His name wasn't the Master did such and such. The Master went to Galilee. The Master died. It was Jesus went here. Jesus. They loved the name Jesus. That was his name that they used when they wrote the Gospels. So, in conclusion, I like to just think about this fact. How significant is the name of Jesus in your life is the question. Those of us who are saved, do we truly love and desire the name of Jesus? Do we truly appreciate its richness in our lives and how Jehovah saves us from sin? That's what we were remembering this morning, was God, Almighty God, who provided a plan of salvation, who gave us salvation, gave us saving grace through his blood. Jesus is the only way of salvation in Acts 4. Now, nor there is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus. You must call on Jesus' name to be saved. But yet you have the world around despises the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus to your average person is nothing but a throwaway line, a name to use in vain. They trample it underfoot. And along with the name of Jesus, they despise the meaning of the name too. The God Almighty. And they use Him in vain. They take the work, the mighty work of salvation, and they cast it aside. That's what the world does. And until you are saved, do you finally have the proper understanding, realization of what the name Jesus means, not to the world, but to you. You make the name of Jesus personal to you, where Jesus is your God, and you are His people, and He saved you from sin. It was Jesus who died on the cross for you, and Jesus who rose from the dead. Jesus, that name was given by Almighty God. How much do you value Jesus' name? I trust that all of us in here take the name of Jesus, and we value it. We appreciate it. As we sung this morning, there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus because He first loved me. Heavenly Father, thank You for these blessed thoughts this morning. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that the name of Jesus would truly be in our minds and our thoughts, and that we would truly appreciate and come to understand the value of our salvation, and thereby the value and hold Your name up in reverence. And next time we come by someone and they use Jesus' name in vain, that we would look at them and say, what mean ye? What do you mean by taking His name in vain? The one who died for us. We thank You for the name of Jesus Christ, and we thank You for living in our lives and giving us the Holy Spirit and the understanding that we have. So we thank You for the Lord and all that has done for us. And if there's anybody here listening to this message who does not know You as Savior, who has not taken the name of Jesus and made it personal in their lives, they would trust You and be one of Your chosen people. We ask these things in Your precious name. Amen.